You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, happy Easter. I'm so glad for us to be able to look now into God's Word, into the Bible, and see this story of the resurrection of what God has done through Jesus Christ. This is an unusual Easter. There's no doubt about it. We're used to being on the highways. We're used to going to grandma's house or aunt and uncle's house or whoever it is, or maybe in your own home having people over, and now it's just totally different. Here we are in this time now where we've got empty seats, an empty tomb, but we can have full hearts. And to be able to see what God can do through this time that is so strange. If you've got a Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 19 through 21. In particular, John 20, verse 20. 2020, this year. It's been a strange year. It's been an unusual year. But here's the thing. God knows that, and He can handle that, and He can minister to us and speak to us even in this time where it doesn't seem like it's normal, doesn't seem like it's right. See, what we're going to do is to be able to look into God's Word, look into the Bible, and see some amazing things that Jesus Christ offers us. So if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 20, verse 19. And I'm going to show you three things in the next few minutes. I'm going to show you peace of Christ, the proof of Christ, and the purpose of Christ. Here's what we're going to do together. Easter offers peace, proof, and purpose. I want you to do something. This is going to be an interactive time. We're going to have fun together. We're going to be able to connect together. I want you to say that sentence with me. I want you to be able to interact with me, whether you're watching television or whether you're on your computer or you've got it on your phone or your tablet, whatever it is, say this with me. You ready? Easter offers peace, proof, and purpose. One more time. Easter offers peace, proof, and purpose. I want to show you that in John chapter 20. So let's look together in John 20. This is what it says beginning in verse 19. When it was evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they feared the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." So this is after the resurrection. He's been placed in a tomb. A huge stone has been rolled in front of it. And now Jesus Christ is resurrected from the grave. And the disciples are in their home, in this home, and they're afraid. They're afraid that someone's going to come after them next. And in this moment, there they are, and Jesus shows up and speaks peace to them. It's interesting on this unusual Easter Sunday that we have, where we're not in a church, where we're not all dressed up, where it's not the normal ways of doing things with chocolate bunnies and finding eggs and all of those sort of things. I want you to see that on this Easter night that we just read about in the scripture, that they are in a home just like you are. They're in their place of dwelling. They're with their close ones there. And in that place, Jesus shows up to show them that He is the resurrected Christ. See, Jesus Christ is coming against their fear. The doors are locked. They're afraid, and they're standing behind these doors, and Jesus just comes right on through because He's the resurrected Christ. See, here's what I want you to know. In our fear, Jesus brings peace. In our fear, Jesus brings peace. Notice that He didn't show up and scold them. He didn't say, "Hey guys, where were you a few days ago when you deserted me? I needed you at that moment and you deserted me." He shows up and says, "Peace. I want to give you peace." Do you need peace? I know I sure need peace because we have a lot of fears. There's a lot of things to be afraid about in today's world. There's a lot of things that have us afraid. Now, just on a normal day, we're afraid of risk. We're afraid of not getting someone's approval. We're afraid of not doing the right thing. We're afraid of not performing well. We're afraid of a lot of different things, of confrontation, of somebody being upset with us. There's a lot of fears. But in today's world, those fears are amplified. Now we're afraid of being 5 feet close to each other instead of 6 feet close to each other. We're afraid of touching something that someone else has touched. We're afraid we're going to get coronavirus, or we're afraid we have it, we don't know it, and we're going to give it to somebody else. We're afraid of what's going to happen in the economy. We're afraid of our job that we do have, or we're afraid because we just lost the job that we had yesterday. There's a lot of things to be fearful about, and anxiety is at a mammoth level in our country. Do you know where the word anxiety comes from? It comes from the phrase to strangle, to strangle. Anxiety and fear strangles us, and Jesus Christ steps through this door to give peace and to say, I don't want you to be held back. I don't want you to feel strangled. I want you to be free. And the first words that he tells these disciples is, peace be with you. It's only Easter night. They've been hearing that he's arisen, but they just haven't seen him yet, and they're already afraid. It's Easter night. Our fears can creep in so quickly. What are you afraid of? How can that be given to Christ and allow then that be a trade that you give him your fears and he gives you his peace? Jesus comes to us. Do you notice that the disciples aren't going to him? He's coming to them in their fear. He's coming close to them. And God this Easter Sunday wants to come close to you through Jesus Christ. Jesus is pursuing you. Jesus is coming after you in a loving way, not with a scolding tone, but with hands and feet pierced for peace because he loves you and he cares for you so greatly. Jesus is coming to the disciples, and Jesus makes effort to come to us with peace. He came into a home that was locked. He could come into hearts that are locked and to be able to say, Lord, I want to open my heart to you. He came with peace. Do you know what the true peace was? The true peace was not that everything was great outside that house. It wasn't that everything was wonderful in circumstance and society. The great thing, the peace that was given was this. Jesus had paid their debt. Well, what debt did he pay for them, you may ask? All of us have a debt towards God. All of us have sinned. All of us have done things wrong, and it amounts to a debt before God. We should have done the right thing. We did the wrong thing. We sinned, and now we've got a debt before God. Well, who can pay for that debt? Can I just try to be a little bit better? Can I try to be a little bit nicer? Go to church a little bit more? How do I balance those scales? Well, you can't, and I can't either. The debt that sin has formed, Jesus Christ has paid it in full by dying on the cross. He was the payment to God. He lived a perfect life. You didn't live a perfect life. Neither have I. And Jesus is the debt that was paid before God. And then he rose again from the grave on Easter Sunday, which we celebrate this very day, to show that he has conquered death. The peace that they received was because their debt had been paid by Jesus Christ before God. There's something powerful when debt is paid, when you're debt-free, when your debt has been paid eternally and exclusively and in salvation, your debt has been paid by Christ. There's something so powerful about that. Thinking towards this Easter Sunday right now, we've been preparing as a church. We've had a plan to let you know this as a church family and all of our guests that are connecting with us. We've been just excited about letting you know this. We've been putting this together for a good while now to do something that would symbolize the debt being paid, that Jesus paid our debt. What could we do as a church that would symbolize the debt that Jesus has been paid? So here's what we've done. Is we partnered with a third party, and what they do is they buy medical debt at pennies on the dollar. And so they buy this medical debt that people owe and they can't pay, and they buy it from all of these different medical companies and hospitals and such, and then churches, our church is one of them, have the opportunity to help with that. So we have made a donation on this Easter Sunday to symbolize Jesus has forgiven our debt so that we could help forgive the debt of others. This is really exciting. Let me show you just with this slide what we've done. Because Jesus has paid our debt, Houston's First Baptist Church is relieving medical debt of $2.5 million. and we have focused in on veterans that have served our country through the military. So we are going to be able to help 400 to 500 military veterans with relieving $2.5 million in debt. Now, what ought to be happening right now? If you're online, there ought to be hearts flying up the screen where you can't even see me anymore. You should be celebrating with claps. If you're watching on TV, you should be cheering at this moment. If this room was filled, I'm telling you, our church would be at a standing ovation moment right now. So just let it rip online as best you can. Because here's what is so exciting. These men and women that have served our country, we are able to illustrate to them that Jesus has paid the debt of our sins. And we're illustrating that with paying the debt of their medical debt. And it means even more in the economic environment we're in right now. See, each one of these veterans is going to receive a letter. This is a partial aspect of the letter, just a piece of it. We are pleased to inform you that you no longer owe the balance of the debt referenced above to the provider above. Can you imagine a veteran reading this going, "What is this?" For we are a not-for-profit corporation that acquires and then cancels unpayable medical debt. This debt has been canceled and abolished with funds donated by Houston's First Baptist Church. So now they know a church has paid this debt. Our forgiveness, and this is almost a spiritual phrase, our forgiveness of the amount you owe is a no-strings-attached gift. You no longer have any obligation to pay this debt to anyone at any future time. I want you to know that Jesus Christ extends his peace with no strings attached because he loves you. And he has paid the debt. And Jesus paying the debt, that's what brings eternal, true, internal peace. Have you trusted Christ to pay your debt? This Easter Sunday, I hope you might just stop right here in the middle of the message and say, "Jesus, I want you to pay my debt. I've sinned against you, and I need you to be my Savior. Wash me clean. Pay my debt. I want to know you." And you will feel a peace of Christ as the Holy Spirit lives inside your heart. I'll give you an opportunity at the end of the message in just a few moments to do that very thing. But it's not only that Easter shows peace. It's not only that Jesus extends peace. He also is going to extend proof. In John chapter 20, verse 20, on this 2020 Easter Sunday, I want you to get this verse in your mind because we need to hear this verse all throughout our city, all throughout our nation. We need to know the proof that Jesus Christ is alive so that we can be overjoyed with what he can do in our lives. Look at John 20:20 in this year of 2020. Here's what it says. Having said this, what did he say? He said, "Peace be with you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus not only offers peace in the midst of our fear, Jesus offers proof in our doubt. In our doubt, Jesus offers proof. So he steps in behind locked doors to these fearful disciples in their home, as you're in your home right now. And he steps in past the locked doors and he says, "Peace be with you. I want to extend my peace. But not only do I want to extend my peace, I want to give you proof because I know some of you are going to doubt." Further on in this scripture, there's a guy named Thomas that's called Doubting Thomas. You may have doubts right now. I mean, what's this whole Christianity thing about? I mean, is this real? Because I've known some Christians that don't act like Christ. I've known some churches that have wounded me. I've known some people that have claimed Christ that haven't responded as Jesus would respond. Is there proof that Jesus is who he says he is? Well, he strolls in, if it wasn't enough that he walked through a locked door, and he said, "Here's my hands and here's my side." And the disciples go, "You are risen. You are resurrected. You came out of that tomb with that stone. It's rolled away. Here you are. You have conquered death and you can pay my debt." And Jesus shows him his hands and his side. This is really interesting. Jesus had 5 wounds. He only shows them 2 and they believe. He had the crown of thorns on his head, wound number 1. He had lashes on his back, wound number 2. His hands were pierced, wound number 3. His feet were nailed, wound number 4. His side was stabbed with a spear, wound number 5. And the disciples just see 2 of them and they say, "I believe." See, you can spend your entire life saying, God, I need one more proof. 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 And God will continually to give you proof. But at some point, you got to say, I got enough to believe. I've got enough to say this is the Christ. Let me give you just a couple things if this isn't enough for you right here. There was a stone that was rolled away. Two ladies were the first people that got to the tomb. The stone weighed between 1.5 and 2 tons. So like 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. And are you telling me that these two ladies rolled it back? No, it was miraculously rolled away. They know that the stone was rolled away. He came out of the grave. The Romans were experts at crucifixion. They knew exactly how to do this. And we have all sorts of history behind this of crucifixion. There's no scholar that doubts that Jesus was crucified. And these Romans would not let him off of the cross until he was dead. And he was laid in this tomb. They knew he was dead. He didn't just crawl off the cross and run off somewhere. Jesus Christ died. And then he rose again to show that death could not conquer him, so that it could show that you and I could go to heaven when we die. Jesus revealed himself, showed himself over 40 days to numerous different people right there in the Jerusalem area. It wasn't like it was, oh, we saw Jesus way over here. Right here, Jesus Christ revealing himself, disciples talking about it, not in Athens, not in Rome, in Jerusalem where this all happened. And Jesus revealed himself even to a group of 500 people. Hallucinations don't happen in groups, my friend. Jesus Christ was proving that he's alive. And a great proof, and this proof happens still today, it's the proof of changed lives, changed lives. My life's been changed by Christ. I hope your life has been changed by Christ. If not, think of someone who you've seen, their life is changed by Christ. See, these disciples before the resurrection were fearful and running and scared. Even now, they're locked up into their homes, fearful. And after the resurrection, when they realize he's alive, after that, they realize this, and now they're going to become so bold, it's going to turn the world upside down with the good news that God loves people and that Jesus died for their sins and wants to give them peace and will offer them proof as well. So they are bold, so bold that these disciples are going to die martyrs' deaths. Men and women will not die a martyr's death for what they know to be a lie. Jesus Christ offers peace on Easter to our fears. Jesus Christ offers proof on Easter to our doubts. And it doesn't stop there. Just as these veterans will receive proof by a letter that they will receive with the bill attached that it's been paid for, Jesus gives us proof, but he doesn't stop there. He goes on a little bit further. See, our doubts can turn into something great if we'll give them to God. Mark Littleton said it like this: turn your doubts to questions. Turn your questions to prayers, and turn your prayers to God. Turn your doubts to questions, your questions to prayers, and your prayers to God. Here's what's going to be shown to us now. Jesus Christ is going to show us not only peace, not only proof, he's going to show us that we in our lives can have purpose. It's found in John chapter 20, verse 21. Here's what it says. Jesus said to them again, so he's going to repeat himself. What's he going to say? Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. You and I have the purposes of God in our life. That's the potential we have. That as God has sent Jesus Christ, Jesus wants to send us. How was he sent? He was sent in love. He was sent in compassion. He was sent in truth. He was sent by God's will. He was sent to tell the world that God loves you and has an amazing purpose for your life. He can forgive the debt that we have all amassed before God. And in forgiving that debt, you can have peace that is internal and peace that is external. Even when coronavirus is surrounding you, even if you lose your job, even if you've lost stored resources, even in all those things, Jesus Christ has a purpose for you and has peace for you and will prove himself to you. Here's what I want you to get. We've looked at peace in fear and proof in doubts. And I want you to hear this last statement. In our burdens, in our busyness, or our boredom, Jesus gives purpose. I bet you've had all three of those in this time that we've been sectioned off to our homes in these days. As we've social distanced, there's burdens that we carry. There's the burdens maybe now of your children at home, and how do you keep them active, and how do you keep the schooling going, and all those things. Kids are a blessing. Kids, we want you to know you are a blessing, and we're so glad you're with us in the home. But there's also a responsibility that your parents have to make sure school and such is going well. So there can be financial burdens that happen in our lives. There could be work burdens. There could be busyness that happens. A million and one Zoom calls. All sorts of things take place as you try to work from home. Or there could be for some, just some boredom. I don't know what to do with myself after all this time. When's this thing going to end? I'm getting a little bit stir crazy. When in the midst of all those things, God wants us to have purpose. So if you're lacking direction, I want you to see Jesus is coming to you. He's pursuing you. If you're busy and you're burdened, Jesus wants to take those burdens off your shoulders and put them on his shoulders. He's coming to you. He's pursuing you. We can all have purpose in our lives, and even purpose in the midst of this trial of the coronavirus. Do you know that there can be purpose in the pandemic? Doesn't mean we like it. Does it mean that we don't grieve the loss of loved ones or the sickness or the things that we see? But we can have a purpose that is higher than health. That it could be something of eternal weight and strength, that God could use you and use me to say there's a peace of Christ, there's a proof of Christ, and there's a purpose that's in Christ. You know, we feel like these days are just crazy, and has this ever happened before? And what can God do with this, and can any good come out of it? Can there be any good purpose? Well, let me give you just a little bit of history. It's always good for us to look back on history to understand the present tense. History can give us a framework of, okay, people have made it through things before, maybe tougher, maybe easier, but they made it through and we can learn something from history. So let me take you back to a little bit of history in our church here at Houston's First and in our city here in Houston. So whether you're all over the nation or all over the world, let's just come back to Houston, our church family, hear this history of our church. 1917, we received a brand new pastor. 1917, his name was Dr. Lovell. And when he arrived at our church, the statement about our church in our church history was this: salvations in Christ were rare in 1917. Meaning that people that trusted Jesus to pay their debt and to be their savior were rare in 1917. In 1917, he comes as a new pastor, and no one is really responding to this good news of Jesus Christ. But then something happens in 1918. 1918, in our nation and in our city, I'll tell you more about our city. 1918, there's an epidemic called the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu begins to sweep across. And there was a certain area in our city that Houstonians will know that in particular, this epidemic began to sweep. There's an area of our city, it's really in the heart of our city, it's called Memorial Park. It's a beautiful park. I've run there, I've mountain biked there, I picnicked there as a kid way back growing up in Houston and now with my family even. It's a beautiful place in our city. Well, before Memorial Park was called Memorial Park, it was called Camp Logan. It was where soldiers would train for the military. So they would train for the war. Let me show you a picture. And this is a picture of Camp Logan. The reason that Memorial Park is named Memorial Park is because it's a memorial to the soldiers that were trained at Camp Logan that gave their lives in war. And so that's why we call it Memorial Park. And in Camp Logan in 1918, Spanish flu swept across the camp. 600 to 700 soldiers became infected. 110 soldiers died of the Spanish flu. It became such an epidemic that the city officials decided that they would shut down the city and close everything in the city. Let me show you the headline from what was called the Houston Post at that time. This is the headline from the 1918 newspaper in Houston. Drastic action to halt epidemic. Schools and theaters closed and public gatherings prohibited. Does that sound somewhat familiar? Churches were closed in this time. The circus, Barnum and Bailey's circus, was in town at the time, and they were shut down for 17 days. The city of Houston shut down, closed down. Sounds really, really familiar to me of what's going on in this time. So let me piece it together for us. 1917, new pastor. Very rare that anybody is responding to the good news that Jesus loves them and wants to forgive their sins and be their Savior. Very rare that someone is being born again, is coming to Christ as Savior. 1918, an epidemic sweeps across the city so much that it has to be shut down. 1919, let me read you the quote from the second anniversary of this pastor, 1917 to 1919. On his second anniversary, here was the quote from our church newspaper. Here's what it said, and I quote, "Before Dr. Lovell came to this church, the church had reached the place that conversions to Christ were rare. But when Dr. Lovell began to preach, sinners were saved in great numbers." What happened? An epidemic. Rare trials, many coming to Christ. Jesus had a purpose. God had a purpose. Here's the sermon in a sentence. Jesus offers peace, proof, and purpose. And I wonder if you right now in your home, it's time for you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, to place your faith in Him alone. Maybe this whole coronavirus thing has got you to a place where you're like, there's got to be something higher. I need something deeper. I need a relationship with God through Christ. We're going to pray in just a moment, and you're going to be able to receive Christ as Savior. Or maybe you know Christ as Savior, and you just need to walk in deeper trust of Him. He offers you peace. He offers you proof. And He offers you purpose. And on this Easter Sunday, I want to call you to place your trust in Christ. If you want to receive Christ as your Savior to pay your debt, I want you to pray with me. What I'll do is I'll pray a phrase and you just repeat it right where you are in your home, safety of your home. Just say it out loud right there. And you pray and receive Jesus as your Savior. And then we'll wrap up our time together. Repeat this after me, meaning it with all of your soul, stating it with your lips. Jesus, I know that I have a debt before God. I have sinned before God. I need you, Jesus, to pay my debt. I can't do it on my own. I place all my belief in your death on the cross, your resurrection from the grave, to be on my behalf. I ask you to save my soul. Be my Savior. Grant me the peace to know I'm going to heaven when I die. If you prayed that, we'd love to help you in any way we can. We want you to text sometime today, pray first to 41411. Pray first to 41411. It's on the bottom of your screen right now. If you already know Christ as Savior, would you say, God, use me in these difficult days for your purposes? Father, we thank you for Jesus, this Resurrection Sunday, for the peace, for the proof, and for the purpose that He brings us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media